Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
Andrew Little is here again for his weekly chat today. What does Minister Little make of the end-of-life choice bill? And how does he think this Parliament will be remembered after the passing of new gun legislation? Plus, there's been a number of complaints over a recent treaty settlement. Have a listen. I thought we'd start firstly just to say, obviously, that the new gun legislation has passed its final reading last night. You must be really happy with how that all went.
Yeah, very pleasing. I think the Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, made it pretty clear early after the shootings on the 15th of March that the one thing that had to change were our gun laws. And, of course, the debate isn't a new debate. This has come up before. And many people question why there needs to be military-style semi-automatic weapons available for the public at large. They're not routinely used for hunting or for much else. A broad consensus emerged. It was great to see actually all but one MP in Parliament supporting it, and that enabled us to get the law through in pretty short order actually after the fatal shootings of the 15th of March.
And seeing opposition MPs cross the floor last night, that's something that I don't remember the last time I've actually seen that.
Yeah, unusual for a government piece of legislation. I guess, you know, these were very special circumstances, and I think the reality is enough people, including, you know, National Party MPs, could see that the easy availability of these sorts of firearms is a risk to community safety. There's no need for them. The limited number of people who can or could use them, that can be dealt with, but they shouldn't be available on a widespread sort of basis. And you saw with the shooter on the 15th of March, he had weapons that he was able to get under his regular Class A licence and convert them very easily into a semi-automatic weapon. And we just don't need that to be so readily available. So it's good. It's really pleasing to see the law change made.
Is this the defining moment of this Parliament?
I think this is an extraordinary time for New Zealand. I think no one ever expected this sort of tragedy to happen here. I think you've seen extraordinary leadership by Jacinda Ardern, she's now placed on the world stage, not only to talk about gun law reform for any other country that might want to listen, and there are a few that might want to, but actually on the issue about what the online platforms, including social media, are doing and their failure to control what's going on their platforms. She's now poised to provide some really strong leadership worldwide on that. So passing the gun laws and all that context, yeah, I think this will be a definitive moment. These extraordinary times have called for extraordinary responses, and we've seen that.
Is that something that you think the Prime Minister might actually want to do to sort of provide some guidance to other countries?
Well, I know a lot of other countries are talking about it now, and the social media platforms, certainly Facebook, are now openly talking about what they need to do that's different, what they need to do to protect, you know, vulnerable people from the harm that comes from allowing this open slather kind of publication of nasty, ugly, insidious stuff on their platform. So I think that there's more to happen yet, but I think a lot of countries who are now openly talking about it are in contact, particularly with Jacinda, and I think there's a growing mood amongst countries around the world to really want to step up and do something about this. The social media platforms know it, which is why they're now starting to respond even to the moral pressure that's being applied.
On to another piece of legislation, the end-of-life choice bill. How are you intending to vote?
I will vote for it. I voted for it at first reading. I think in principle I support it. And I think the bill as it is, even when it went in, I was satisfied with the safeguards that were in it. I know that the committee talked about a number of changes and tweaks, and although the committee only, for the purposes of reporting back to Parliament, were only able to agree on some reasonably minor technical changes, I know they considered some other matters that would have provided a further safeguard. I think David Seymour has done a good job in listening to a lot of the submissions and responding to them, and I know he's got in mind some further changes that would tighten up the protections in the legislation. Look, there will be a lot of scaremongering about it. And already that's what's been going for a while now, but it's carrying on, and people are saying, various people who are vulnerable, including those with mental health issues, will be vulnerable. Actually, they won't. The law is very clear. You have to be of sound mind and meet a range of other conditions before you, you know, you get access to the provisions of the legislation. So I think it's right for those who are in a terminal state and whose enjoyment of life has gone all but gone completely, loss of function, loss of dignity, they should be able to make a decision about how they end.
Like you mentioned, the Justice Select Committee didn't really make many recommendations. Does that mean it's a perfect bill in their eyes, or is there just a sort of a petty kind of infighting reason why they couldn't come to some kind of conclusion on what they thought needed to be improved?
No, I think, look, understand that this is a big issue and people have very deeply held and passionate views about it. And I think that was represented on the committee. And I think those who are opposed to it, they were represented on the committee, and there are a couple of National MPs at least who are of that view, totally valid and legitimate view. And although they entered in the debate and they could see that there could be changes that could be made, they could not bring themselves to support it and to support any change. So in the end, the committee was deadlocked. And in those circumstances, what happens with the deadlock is that, subject to a minor technical change that they approved, the bill gets reported back largely unchanged. And then it's for Parliament as a whole, through the Committee of the Whole House stage, to make any changes that they can agree on. And because it's a conscience issue, MPs vote, or are meant to vote, according to their personally held views, and it'll be a job for David Seymour to make sure that the numbers line up the right way. I don't know where the numbers line up at the moment, but it'll be his job to make sure that there are enough numbers there to get it through the next stage and to get it through the committee stage where any further changes can be made.
Something that David Seymour has talked about is that submissions to the Select Committee seem to be largely negative, and yet in that the public consensus, supposedly officially, is quite different. Is that a problem with the Select Committee process, that it can be bombarded by a minority?
No, I mean, we see this in a lot of respects. And the people who, you know, there are some groups who are more organised and more motivated than others to influence the information that gets before a select committee. So those who are desperate to see this legislation not passing, they've been well organised, they've been well motivated, and they've organised. They've had large institutions like church groups and other community organisations to organise against the bill and get submissions in opposing it. Whereas those who are in favour of end-of-life choice are not... I mean, they're certainly articulate, but they're not as well organised and as well institutionalised as those who are opposed to it. That doesn't mean to say that when you kind of conduct polls of New Zealand at large, that you don't find that actually there's a large number, probably, I don't know whether it's 50-50 or whether it's in favour or opposed, but there's a large chunk of New Zealanders who are keen to see this through, so let's just see how the rest of the parliamentary process goes.
47 complaints made to you as Minister for Treaty Negotiations before you signed the Pari Hauraki settlement last year. That seems like quite a lot.
If you see most of the correspondence I get through on treaty issues, no, it's not. And I don't want to belittle it. It's not. But this is a particularly controversial agreement. Controversy has erupted. And without pointing fingers and kind of looking at the behaviours of all involved, I'm totally comfortable with where things are at and the fact that I signed it when I did. As Minister, it is not right for me to be presiding over a situation where one or two iwi who already have the benefits of their treaty settlement can do everything they can to hold up the settlements of 12 other iwi, both their collective ones and their individual ones. I saw an injustice in that. I know that there is disagreement over some aspects of it. I also know that some pretty ferocious attempts were made to mediate and to resolve, and there was just a standoff. And at some point, the standoff had to be broken. That standoff had existed for two or three years. I don't think it's acceptable that people think that because the Crown is unwilling to do anything, they therefore de facto exercise a veto over progress being made. I wasn't prepared to accept that. So I've signed it. I knew what the consequences would be. The tribunal is now hearing about the issues and they will make their ruling accordingly.
And finally, we have some more information on the Royal Commission of into the Christchurch attack. What is Justice William Young going to be looking into?
Well, he's going to be looking at the kind of the lead up to the events, and therefore what, you know, what was known, what should have been known, what could have been known, and then to look at the our agencies, the security and intelligence agencies, the SOS and the GCSB, but also the police, who also have an intelligence function, the customs and immigration, who also have intelligence functions, and are, you know, meant to be keeping an eye on people who and goods that go across the border. So all those things, and then I think making a judgment about whether the, you know, what we've got in place at the moment in terms of intelligence that keeps a track of threats, national security threats, whether it is up to the mark. So very important, very thoroughgoing, and I think it'll give us an account of how the shooter was able to do what he did. And I think it'll give us a better understanding and hopefully, and will be, guidance for the future.
Minister, thank you so much. We had to shoot through a whole lot of different issues there and it handled it very well.
Very good. Cheers, Stuart.
Cheers. Thank you very much. Bye.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire.
Yes.